You are now listening to the iScript of Soul Shadows 2, Just a Dream, by Tyler Higgins. Fade in. Interior, the alcove. As we enter the candlelit alcove, it appears empty. Nobody home. The display case. The doors of the mahogany cabinet are ajar, and a tattered leather sheath hangs by its strap from one of the door handles. On the sheath. Given its size, this sheath would normally house a large dagger, but the sheath is empty. Wider. Where is Tanis? We continue to explore the alcove. And there, in the far corner, a figure lies in the bed, little more than a pallet suspended on four gnarled timbers. We approach. On the bed, Tanis slumbers. We stand above her and watch the smooth rise and fall of her chest, but it is a quiet, peaceful ruse, and Tanis suddenly springs to life. With an animal snarl and quick silver fluidity, she snatches a dagger from beneath her pillow and lunges towards us, stopping mere inches from a strike. The glinting point of the dagger hovers before our nose. But after a moment, Tanis cannot continue the hoax. Her eyes soften as she lowers the dagger with a deep, rich laugh.
Oh, you should be seeing your face.
Tanis mimics an exaggerated, frightened pose, mocking us and clearly pleased with herself.
Ain't no cause for no worry.
No, Tanis not be cutting nobody.
Tonight.
Tanis pulls back the covers and sits up in bed. She pats the spot beside her, inviting us to sit and join her. And so we do. The flimsy bed creaks ominously beneath our added weight.
The world, she keep on rolling while you sleep. But when you sleep, then you in a new world. A world of your own making.
Tanis lifts the dagger once more.
But it is not a world without peril,
on the dagger, revealing its ornate and intricate design, with an iron handle and a blade of black onyx. There is an eye on either side of the blade.
When you close one set of eyes, another pair, they be opening.
The eye of the blade opens, on the eye. The eye is cold, unreadable, but merciless all the same.
Sleep be like a little taste of death.
Slowly the eye pales and mists and wanes, taking on a new form to become the full moon, shining down from a starlit sky to illuminate a quiet suburban street.
Tanis voiceover. And when some lie down, they even pray the Lord their soul to keep.
Well, maybe that happens sometimes.
But not tonight. And this tale be called Just a Dream.
Super. Just a Dream. Exterior, Penny's house, day. Devon, 17, walks Penny, 18, up to her house. He is short and skinny, but they are both dressed nicely. Devon in a button-up shirt and Penny in a dress. The moon is full in a starry sky. The flowers are blooming. Everything is perfect. They reach the door and face one another.
Penny. Devon, I wanted to thank you for a wonderful evening.
He takes her hand and kisses it in a very suave manner.
Devon. The pleasure, Penny, was all mine.
Penny giggles sweetly and blushes. Devon continues to hold her hand. Penny smiles as she grabs Devon's other hand.
Penny, I know it's just our first date, but I think it went so well, and...
She is cut off by a passionate kiss from Devon. Mid-kiss, out of the corner of his eye, Devon notices Roger, 26. Roger stands behind Penny. He wears black jeans and a solid black snap-up Western-style shirt, with a subtle floral pattern stitched in red over the chest. Devon, confused, ends the kiss and stares right at Roger. Roger smiles, a toothpick dangling from his mouth. He waves at Devon, then holds up a big sign. It reads, "Hey, bud."
Penny. Devon?
Devon continues to look at Roger, whose sign now reads,
"You're dreaming."
This further confuses Devon. Roger lifts his sign up over his head and drops it. As it falls, it seems to swallow him, and he is gone as the sign hits the ground.
Devon. What the...
The stars begin dropping from the sky. The flowers and bushes seem to melt as the ground heaves. Penny doesn't seem to notice.
Penny. What's wrong, baby?
Devon backs up, stuttering.
Devon. I... Wait, so this...
Penny.
Devon?
Devon.
This is all...
Interior. Devon's bedroom. Day. Devon snorts as his eyes shoot open.
Devon, just a dream?
He sits up and sighs. His room is a mess, dirty clothes and garbage strewn about. From the pile on his floor,
He grabs some dirty-looking clothes and his backpack. Interior, kitchen, living room, day. Devin enters, dropping his backpack on the kitchen counter. This room is just as messy. Garbage is heaped on every surface, and the sink is loaded with dishes. On a lazy boy in front of the TV sits Devin's dad, 40. He's watching some Springer-esque trash, sitting in his sweats and a cheap beer. Devin, "Morning, Dad." His dad grunts in response. Devin picks a glass from the sink, rinses it, and then fills it with water. Devin, "I was thinking I'd go in early today." He sips his water and stares at his dad, who stares through the TV. Devin finishes his water, puts it on the counter, and slings his backpack over his shoulder, sighing. Devin, "Well, bye then." Devin leaves. His dad takes another sip of beer. Interior, school library, day. Devin scans the shelves of books. When Gus, 15, pops up next to him. Gus is even smaller than Devin, and somewhat geeky in appearance. Gus, "What you looking for, Devin?" Devin, "Oh, hey, Gus. Something on dreams. I had the weirdest one last night." "Oh, wow, are you in for a treat, man? Dreams are so cool." Devin only half listens as he continues to scan the shelves. Gus, "I got pretty into studying dreams last year, with, like, REMs and, like, the different stages of sleep and Native American spirit quests." Devin ignores Gus as he finally gets to the section on dreams. One of the books is titled Lucid Dreaming. Devin, "What's lucid dreaming?" Gus, "Oh, it's mad cool. It's like when you're dreaming and you, like, realize you're dreaming, and then, like, you can do whatever you want." Devin pulls the final book from the shelf and begins flipping through it. Devin, "Whatever I want?" "Yeah, because it's your dream. All you have to do is figure out that you're dreaming, and, like, bam, you're set." Devin closes the book and looks at Gus. Devin, "Have you ever done it?" "No way, man. I tried, but I couldn't get it." "So it doesn't work?" "I don't know. I just couldn't get it. It took me, like, forever to be able to figure out when I was dreaming, and then whenever I did, I'd just wake up." "Huh. Well, thanks, Gus. I'm gonna go check this out." "No problem, Dev." A beat. Devin's face showed that he was not quite expecting to be called Dev. Gus. "And Devin, sorry, I had something in my throat." Devin smiles. "Okay, Gus, I'll see you later." Devin turns and walks away. Gus. "Hey, what are you doing after school today?" Devin, already a few feet away, turns back. Devin. "Studying." Devin taps the book in his hand, then turns back around and continues onward. Gus. "Ha, that's cool. I'll see you later." Devin just holds up his hand in response, before turning the corner and disappearing from Gus's view. Gus looks around, sees a kid studying at a table, and heads over. Gus. "Hey, Randy, what you reading?" Interior, hallway, day. Devin sits leaning against his locker, reading Lucid Dreaming. The bell rings, and the hallway becomes a swarm of students. Devin quickly gets up to avoid being trampled when he sees her. Penny walks down the hall in a small posse of equally pretty girls. Devin stares in adoration as they pass, not even paying him a second glance. Kelly, off-screen. "You should just say hello." Devin turns to see Kelly, 17, digging for books in the locker next to his. Devin. "Oh, hey, Kelly." Kelly shuts her locker and slings her backpack over her shoulder as Devin works on the combo for his locker. Kelly. "Seriously, you sketch? Staring at her from the corner?" Devin kind of chuckles, taking her advice lightly. Kelly. "Not to mention how you never shut up about her." "Just saying." She waits for him as he opens his locker and begins switching books between his backpack and locker. Devin. "I know it sounds lame, but I really like her. I can just imagine how great we'd be together, you know?" Kelly rolls her eyes. Kelly. "I know how great a couple you think you'd be." Devin finishes and closes his locker. He and Kelly begin to walk together down the hall. Kelly takes a breath, preparing to rant. Kelly. "I know where you take her on your first date. I know where you'd take her on your second date. I know where you'd take her on dates 3 through 80, Devin, because you've told me, in grave detail, about a billion times. But when, Devin, are you going to tell her?" Devin. "I will. Eventually, I just don't want to ruin it all." Kelly sighs. Kelly. "You're a strange one, Devin Kale. Definitely a hard nut to crack." Devin smiles as the two of them enter a classroom. Interior, Devin's house. Living room, kitchen, day. Devin enters and makes his way through the messy room, grabbing a large open bag of chips on his way. His dad is no longer on the couch. Interior, Devin's room, day. Devin slips his backpack off his shoulder and sits on his bed. He unzips it and pulls out the Lucid Dreaming book. Flipping over onto his stomach, he begins to read. Fast motion. Devin just burns through the book, occasionally eating chips as it gets darker outside his window. The hands of his clock are spinning, eventually stopping at 9:30 p.m. as the fast motion ends. Devin tosses the book near his backpack on the floor, turns off his reading light, and eagerly flips over onto his back, shutting his eyes. Soon after, Devin opens his eyes. It would appear he was unable to fall asleep. Devin sits up, sighs, and then gets up and leaves. Interior, living room, kitchen, night. Devin enters the room, which is now somehow even messier. His dad is back in his chair, facing the television, which plays static. Devin, oh, hey, Dad, I didn't know you were home. Dad,
that's because you're an uncaring little fuck.
Devin stops, shocked. His dad stands up and turns, sweating profusely. The white noise from the television gets slowly louder. Devin,
I...
Dad,
shut the fuck up. You're gonna start pulling your fucking weight around here.
The sink turns on with a loud whoosh. Dad moves slowly towards Devin. His face occasionally spasms, sending beads of sweat into the air. Devin backs up. Dad,
poor little fucking Devin. You think the world revolves around you?
The blender turns on with a loud vroom. Dad's face is no longer sweating, but melting. When he spasms, bits of skin and blood fly off. Dad,
you good-for-nothing, selfish.
The garbage seems to multiply and heaps up to knee level. Dad's face is basically completely gone, just a bloody skull with black eyes. Dad,
stupid, ugly.
The water from the sink spills over the counter onto the floor. The noise from the blender, faucet, and sink create an almost unbearable noise level, which is only outdone by the voice of Devin's dad. Devin covers his ears. Dad,
pathetic, loser, fuck up.
The door bursts open, and white light pours in. Roger runs in with the ornamental dagger, the handle iron and the blade in its black onyx. On the handle there are two eyes, one on either side of the blade. One is open, the other closed. Roger stabs Devin's dad in the back with the dagger. He flickers and disappears. Roger,
and that kid is why you need to get better at all this lucid dreaming shit.
Devin is still quite shaken up. Devin, this is another dream? Who are you? What's that dagger thing? Like at the end of his last dream, things begin to go crazy as the walls seemingly melt and the floor heaves. Roger grabs a dizzy Devin and shakes him.
Roger, don't wake up, kid. Fight it. Don't...
Interior, Devin's room. Day. Devin wakes up. Interior, school library. Day. Gus stands behind a girl sitting at a table doing homework. The pretty girl he is hovering over looks quite uneasy. Gus.
Oh, boy. Limits. Good news, though. They're easier than they look.
Devin, off screen.
Gus.
Gus turns and sees Devin running in. Gus.
Sorry, hon. I'll be right back.
Gus taps her on the head, then walks to Devin as the girl emits a sigh of relief and begins packing up her books. Gus.
What's up, man?
I need to know more about lucid dreaming. Gus smiles, glad for the attention.
Yeah, man, of course.
Devin is red, sweaty, and his hair is messy. He looks as though he ran all the way there. Devin.
Well, let's go. Geez, man, what's the hurry?
Can we just do this?
Yeah, okay, whatever. I know a few websites.
Gus leads Devin over to the lab section of the library, where they sit. Gus opens a web browser. Gus.
All right, well, this is sort of a lucid dreaming database. Anything you need to know should be on here.
Devin intercepts the mouse and navigates through the site.
Yeah. Go ahead. Check it out, I guess.
Devin frantically clicks around, reading every bit of information that pops up.
Hey, I was wondering what you're doing tonight.
Devin is too absorbed in his research to notice Gus's question. Gus whistles and waves his hand in front of Devin's face.
Hello? Buddy?
Devin snaps out of it and looks at Gus. Devin.
Yeah? What are you doing tonight?
Devin looks back at the screen.
Homework. On a Friday?
I have lots. Gus shrugs.
All right, maybe I'll see you tomorrow?
Devin doesn't break his gaze.
Definitely.
Interior, hallway, day. Kelly stands by her locker as students swarm around her. She is looking for someone. Devin is nowhere to be seen. She waits by her locker. The crowd of students begins to thin, and the bell rings. Devin doesn't come by. Kelly takes one last look around, then jogs off. Interior, library, day. Devin is hard at work in front of a computer, reading everything he can. His eyes begin to droop. Penny.
Devin?
Devin snaps to attention. Devin.
Penny, hey.
Penny.
Hey, this is embarrassing.
Devin smiles and looks up at her. Devin.
What?
Penny.
Well, I've always had a sort of a crush on you.
Devin beams, and then notices Roger leaning against a bookshelf, toothpick in mouth, dagger in a sheath attached to his belt, the ornamental handle poking out. Devin's smile fades. Devin.
Shit.
Penny.
Oh, okay, I understand.
Penny looks at her feet and turns. Devin.
No, wait. Penny turns back, hopeful. Just give me a second. Devin runs past Penny to talk with Roger. Roger.
Hey, little man, nice to see you back so soon.
Devin. So this is another dream, then, right?
If I say yes, will you puss out and wake up?
Devin appears unsure.
I don't think so.
Roger smiles.
Yeah, it's a dream. Wrap your head around it, we've got work to do.
Devin is hesitant. He glances at Penny.
But...
Don't worry. Your flat little lady friend will still be here when we get back.
Devin frowns.
Who are you? Where are we going?
The name's Roger. And where we're going is up to you.
Huh?
It's your dream, bud. It's sort of up to you.
All right. I don't know. Where do you want to go?
Roger chuckles.
Well, damn, Dormant. There ain't a single decisive bone in your body, is there?
Devin just looks at him. He looks a little pathetic.
Just picture, like, a beach or something, kiddo. We don't have all day.
Devin closes his eyes. The library around him seems to fade and warp into a beach. Exterior. Beach. Day.
Devin opens his eyes.
Devin.
Whoa.
Easy, right? And you didn't wake up.
Devin smiles.
Yeah, I guess I didn't.
And it will only get easier, Maddie.
It's Devin...
No, dumbass. It's a nickname. Like Doormat. Try to keep up.
Devin frowns. Roger walks toward the shoreline, and Devin follows.
You can only get better at this. The weirder shit you do, the more likely you'll be to just wake up. But if you get used to doing the weird shit, you'll be less likely to wake, and...
Roger reaches the water and just keeps walking, Jesus style. Devin stops.
Devin. Whoa, I don't know if...
Roger turns. He looks exasperated.
Oh, come on. It's a dream. The sooner you get that, the sooner you'll get this.
Roger motions to his feet, and their perch on top of the water. Devin daintily takes a step. And it works. He's walking on water.
Devin. Whoa, I'm like Jesus.
Roger smiles.
Nope. Here, Matty boy. You're God.
Kelly, off screen. Devin?
Devin!
Devin looks up for the voice. The water begins to bubble beneath him, and Roger gets all wavy. Roger.
Oh, fuck, really?
Interior, library, day. Devin sits in front of the computer, his head on the keyboard. He opens his eyes and sees Kelly standing, worried, next to him.
Kelly. What's up? You missed class.
Devin sits up and wipes the drool from his face. Even with as much sleep as he's been getting, he looks exhausted.
Devin. I was just doing some research, Kells. Not really a big deal.
Kelly looks at his screen.
Lucid dreaming? What class is that for?
Devin closes the window and gets up, grabbing his backpack and slinging it over his shoulder.
Devin. It's not for a class. It's for me. I'm getting pretty good at it.
He walks toward the exit and Kelly follows.
At what? Dreaming? Devin, what good is being good at dreaming?
Plenty. It's, I don't know, it's great. What's with your attitude? They leave the library and enter the hallway. Interior, school hallway, day. Devin and Kelly come through the door from the library.
Kelly. It's not real, Devin.
Devin looks very annoyed.
Devin. It's pretty damn real to me, Kelly.
Devin turns and storms away, towards the school exit. Kelly doesn't follow.
Devin, where are you going? It's only second period.
Devin doesn't even turn as he yells back to her.
Home. I need some sleep.
Devin leaves. Kelly looks after him sadly, then turns and goes back into the library. Interior, school library, day. Kelly enters and looks around, eventually spotting Gus, who she walks over to.
Kelly. Hey, Gus. Do you know anything about lucid dreaming?
Gus.
What, is it like some sort of new trend all of a sudden?
Was Devin asking you about it?
Yeah, he seemed, like, crazy into it.
Yeah, I know. I'm worried. I was wondering if it was at all, like, dangerous.
Gus thinks, and then starts walking towards the computers.
Gus.
You know, I never really took it that seriously, but there were some warnings and stuff on the website.
Gus pulls up a web browser. Kelly stands looking over his shoulder. Interior, Devin's living room, kitchen, day.
Devin enters and walks straight past his dad. Neither of them acknowledge the other.
Interior, Devin's room, day.
Devin closes his blinds, turns off the lights, and lies in his bed.
Interior, library, day.
Gus and Kelly are hunched over the computer screen.
Gus,
nothing that looks too serious, Kelly.
Kelly,
this doesn't even really make sense. Exhaustion is on the list?
Yeah, the lucidity throws off the REM cycle.
Gus chuckles. Look at this one. Accidental encounters with spiritual entities? Isn't that crazy? They think they can see, like, gods in their dreams.
This whole thing is crazy.
Wait, scroll up. What's dissociation? It says that it might become hard to tell the difference between your dreams and reality.
Kelly looks uneasy.
I don't know. That's pretty creepy, Gus. I don't really like this. I think I'm gonna go check on him.
Gus gives Kelly a funny look as she slings her backpack over her shoulder.
Gus. I mean, I'm sure he's fine, Kelly. It's just a dream, you know?
Kelly waves back at Gus as she leaves.
Kelly. Thanks for your help, Gus.
Gus turns back to his computer and smiles to himself.
She so digs him.
Exterior. Woods. Day. Devin stands in a shady forest, looking around. He concentrates. A picnic blanket appears, with a beautiful-looking picnic set up on top of it. He concentrates again, and the canopy of foliage opens up and sunshine pours down upon his blanket. Pink leaves fall at a steady and constant pace from the trees. He concentrates, and a stream appears with a pleasant bubbling. He concentrates again, and Penny appears, looking quite stunning. He smiles. Devin. Hey, Penny. Penny looks around, struck by the beauty Devin created. Penny. Wow, Devin, it's beautiful. Devin beams. Roger walks up. Roger.
Well, ain't this romantic.
He grabs an apple from the blanket and bites in. Devin looks upset. Devin. One second, Penny. Roger winks and waves at Penny, and Devin grabs him by the arm and pulls him away. They go slightly deeper into the forest, away from Penny. Devin. Hey, man, I was wondering if I could sort of try things out on my own this time. Roger looks down at Devin with fake sympathy.
Oh, yeah, man. I'll let you get right back to your imaginary little date with the surfboard just after one more little fun fact.
Devin, angry, gets all up in Roger's face. You know, she's really beautiful. Roger chuckles.
I'm sure she is, Matt. If you're into pancakes and what have you.
You know, I've had just about enough of you. Roger chuckles and jokingly backs up, hands in a mock surrender.
All right, just one more little fun fact and I'll get out of your hair.
Fine, what is it?
When you want to stay in a dream, you gotta rely on the senses. If you fill them up with that dream stuff, you won't be able to sense stuff in reality and can avoid snapping back.
Awesome, Roger, thanks. Bye. Devin turns and heads back towards Penny. Roger.
Whoa there, Seabiscuit. That's just part one. It's the second part that's really useful.
Devin turns, impatiently.
Yeah? The sense that's best at keeping you anchored is your sense of touch.
Awesome. Devin turns again.
Wait, let's just give it a quick practice.
Devin lets out an impatient sigh as he turns once more, only to see Roger's fist flying towards his face.
Wham!
Roger's fist makes a solid connection with Devin's right temple. Devin crumples to the ground. Exterior, Devin's house. Day. Kelly runs up to Devin's front door and rings the doorbell. She looks worried. Exterior, woods. Day. Devin, the side of his face already swelling, backs away from Roger. Devin. What the fuck was that for? Roger smiles.
Fun.
Roger plants a firm kick directly into Devin's ribcage. The force spins Devin in a complete 360, and he lands with a thud on his stomach. Roger pounces onto Devin's back and pins his knee between Devin's shoulder blades. He grabs Devin's hair, getting a good grip and pulling up his head, exposing his throat. Roger.
You know, Maddie, it didn't used to be this way. Used to be no hunting involved.
Devin groans as Roger pulls the dagger from his jeans.
People just send souls to me. Call them sacrifices. It was mad easy.
Roger presses the blade against Devin's throat and moves in so that he's whispering right in Devin's ear.
But not nearly as enjoyable.
Exterior, Devin's house. Day. No one has answered, so Kelly pushes the doorbell again. She leans over the banister and peeks in through the window. She sees Devin's dad in his chair and waves and points at the door. He doesn't react. Kelly knocks loudly on the window, waving at Devin's dad. Mr. Kale! Mr. Kale! Exterior, woods. Day. Roger is smiling, his dagger still pressed against Devin's throat.
I hope, Maddie, that you had a bit of fun, too.
Almost sad it's over. Devin struggles to talk.
It's not...
Devin's face is tight with concentration. Roger's beaming.
Not what, Maddie?
Over. The scenery around them melts and heaves. Interior. Hospital MRI room. Day. The room is empty, except for the giant MRI machine and the woman inside it. It is on, and its strong magnetic pull causes the dagger to fly out from Roger's hand.
You clever little fuck.
Roger laughs, surprised but not annoyed. He slams Devin's face into the hard tile floor. Roger gets up off Devin's back and walks over to the machine.
How do I turn this little bugger off?
Devin lays still on the floor, his face messy with blood, seemingly passed out. Roger inspects the MRI machine.
If I were an MRI off-on switch, where would I be?
He sees a red button with emergency session end written above it.
Bingo.
He pushes it, and the humming sound it was making stops. The dagger clatters to the ground, and the woman inside is slowly ejected. Roger walks over to pick up his dagger. The woman's head pokes out of the machine. With one swollen, bloodied eye, Devin looks at her. He concentrates. The room seems to melt and heave. Roger.
Oh, fuck, no, you are disappearing!
Roger grabs the knife and jumps to grab onto Devin, but he disappears. So has the lady from the machine. Interior, Devin's kitchen, dining room, day. It is not the same room we have seen, as it is completely clean, and everything is in much better shape. Drawings and crayon adorn the refrigerator. Devin and his mom, 37, the lady from the MRI machine,
appears standing in the room. Devin. Mom! Devin hugs her tightly. She looks extremely confused as she looks around to the place she just appeared in, but as she does so, she returns the hug. Mom. Devin, honey, what's going on? She looks down at him now, and notices his beat-up condition. Mom. What happened to you? They break the hug, and Devin looks at her, serious. Devin. Honestly, I have no idea. Are you in trouble? I think so. I'm having a really bad nightmare. She hugs him again, holding his head to her breast. Don't worry, baby, it's just a dream. I'll protect you. Devin lets her hug him for a few seconds, but his heart isn't in it. His eyes and face are wet with tears. I don't think you can. He steps away. I don't think anyone can. Exterior, Devin's house. Day. Kelly is still pounding on the door. She stops and yells pleadingly. Come on, Mr. Kale, I think Devin needs help. Just a few seconds later, Devin's dad opens the door. He looks stern, yet somewhat worried.
Why would you say something like that?
Kelly, relieved he finally opened the door, rushes past him. Devin's dad, confused, turns and follows. Interior, Devin's kitchen, dining room, day. Devin and his mom stand apart. Devin, I know you want to help, but it's only because I want you to help. You're not real. I think I'm just alone in this. The dagger shoots through his mom's neck, then pulls back out. She flickers and disappears, revealing Roger standing beside her.
Not completely alone. Sorry, buddy.
Devin, startled, jumps back. Who are you? Why are you doing this? Roger smiles and laughs. He slowly moves towards Devin with the dagger.
Well, ain't you a curious cat?
But seriously, Maddie, if I told you that, I'd have to kill you. He jumps forward, smirking, towards Devin, who, startled, topples backwards. Roger laughs. Devin stares up at him furiously. Well, are you just getting a kick out of this? He gets up, filled with rage, catching Roger off guard and replacing his smile with a look of confusion. Devin, watching me run around, scared shitless. You could probably kill me whenever you wanted, but you're too twisted for that. Roger regains his composure and his smile returns.
What can I say, Bambi? I'm a hunter.
Devin shakes his head. No, no, you're not. You're like me. You're forgotten, overlooked. Devin moves towards Roger, whose smile has faded yet again. I heard what you said earlier about getting sacrifices. What, were you some kind of god or something? Something considered holy, now wholly forgotten? Roger looks furious and speaks through gritted teeth.
Listen, Dr. Phil, I ain't got no time for this.
Devin throws his hands into the air, a crazed smile on his face.
Then end it already. Kill me, but it's not going to change anything. You'll still be a forgotten asshole. And I'll lay dead in my room for at least a month before anyone thinks to check. Face it, Roger. I have. No one cares.
Interior. Devin's room. Day. Kelly bursts into Devin's room and sees him asleep on his bed. She smiles at the sight of him, and relief washes over her face. She works her way over to Devin's bed. She looks down at his peaceful sleeping figure. She kneels down next to him and quickly fixes her hair, preparing for when he wakes. Kelly. Devin. Interior. Devin's kitchen. Dining room. Day. Devin and Roger glare at each other, about 5 feet between them. Devin. Face it, Roger. We don't matter. I don't matter. You don't matter.
You son of a...
Roger, dagger held above his head, runs at Devin. Kelly, voiceover. Devin. Devin hears her and looks up for the voice. The sadly confident, angry smirk wiped instantly from his face and replaced with one of regret. Devin. Kelly? Roger stabs the dagger deep into Devin's heart. The pain is unbearable, and it shows on his face, but he fights to yell one last time. Devin.
Kel?
Roger, still furious, twists the dagger, cutting Devin off with an intense pain. White mist begins to wisp out from Devin's mouth. Kelly, voiceover.
Devin? Devin! Devin!
Roger keeps the dagger deep in Devin's chest, as Devin's body begins to melt and heave into the white mist, which is then sucked into the open eye of the dagger. Roger pants, his face red with anger. Interior, Devin's room, day. Kelly is kneeling next to Devin's body, shaking it. She is screaming. Devin's dad rushes into the room, worried. He sees Kelly shaking Devin, and he pushes her aside, checking his pulse. Interior, Devin's kitchen, dining room, day. The last of Devin evaporates into the white mist and is sucked into the open eye of the blade. As the last bit goes in, the eye closes. Interior, Devin's room, day. Devin's eyes open. They are blank white. Dissolve to the eye of the dagger. It stares ahead, fierce and unblinking. Tanis, off-screen.
Dreams. They tell us about ourselves. You dream about what you love the best, or you dream about what you fear the worst.
And now the eye of the dagger slowly winks closed. Tanis, off-screen.
When you sleep, it all come tumbling out, like leaves in the wind. But if you listen, listen close, out of that chaos